Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome into the second half here of the Knowing the Truth radio program. I wanted to bring something to your attention today that I've seen out here on sermonaudio.com. As you know, I post all of the audio files from the programs that we do out there on sermonaudio.com. You can go to our webpage out there. It's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth is where we post all of the audios for free download. And not just me, but thousands of churches around the world upload their sermons out there as well. But there was one in particular that Sermon Audio was highlighting, and that was the work of an organization. The acronym for it spells out the word FAME, F-A-M-E. And this organization here, FAME, which stands for Friends of African Missionary Endeavor, so that's what it's the acronym stands for, they're doing this fantastic work in Africa. And Stephen Lee, who is the founder and president of Sermon Audio, had the opportunity to go there and to see this work firsthand at least one time. I think he might have been back there multiple times. And he has agreed to come on the program today and to talk about the work that's taking place there and why he was so impressed by it. And what's going on, there's going to be some activity here, right here in the upstate of South Carolina related to it. And so I wanted to make sure that the listeners here locally knew about it, as well as the people that listen all across the country and all across the world via Sermon Audio, that they were aware of what was going on there as well. Stephen's actually has joined me here in the studio. So, Stephen, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. It's so nice to be here.
Stephen, you got to tell us about what is taking place here with FAME. I see you've posted some things on Sermon Audio. I want to play here in just a minute, some of the kids singing there in Africa. Where are we talking about in Africa, and how did you find out about this? Start from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a few years ago, I met the founder of this mission, Alan Dunlop, and he happened to be here in Greenville because his grandson goes to Bob Jones. And never met him before, never really knew anything about the work he was doing out in Africa, but we had breakfast one day at Stacks Omega, and he started talking about the mission, and I started asking a lot more questions, and it was fascinating. I really couldn't believe that all that he was doing. And he invited me to come out and see for myself, and, you know, I've never been to Africa, so I tentatively said, sure, someday, you know. But
not just around the corner,
yeah,
you know, right?
Right. You know, I intended to go, but I wasn't really excited about going. But I tell you what, about half a year later, I decided, you know what? I told him I would go. Mm-hmm. I need to go. Mm. He was out there at the time, and so I decided to head out there on my own. I got all the shots I needed. It's daunting getting out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long trip. But we made it out there, and he picked me up from the airport, and we started the long four-hour drive out to where his mission compound is. This is in eastern Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were driving out there, a couple of hours went by, 3 hours and then 4 hours, less and less of civilization as we know it, and more of, you know, mud huts and things like that. Really, when I first came upon their compound, he kept on referring it to a compound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought maybe a building, two buildings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we came upon a place, I think it's like 18 to 20 acres of fairly well-built buildings. He's built an infrastructure there in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
I mean, around about, you have nothing.
Hmm.
And they only recently got power. I mean, they've been operating for years without power. And they use solar panels and batteries and things like that. But I was so amazed that he had a mission out here in the middle of nowhere. And that was really the beginning of it.
Now, when you say nowhere, is the surrounding area arid, like desert? Is it more junglish or bush
type of
area?
They call it the bush.
Okay.
It would be very arid.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot of vegetation. But they do farming, and agriculture is probably the main thing that they try to do out there. But they have a lot of famine. They have a lot of problem with food and water. And it's somewhat primitive. It's gotten a little bit better over the years because they do have power and things like that. But the kind of a compound that he has, he's got maybe about 15 or 20 separate buildings there. He's got an orphanage with 200 children.
Yeah. How do you build these buildings? I mean, it's not like there's a Home Depot.
No, I know. Well,
you could run over to, right?
They have teams come out.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Northern Ireland, so he's had some teams come out from the UK that help him. They bring in materials from Nairobi.
Mm.
They will have local people build and construct things like the bricks.
Mm.
They actually know how to build it.
Make bricks?
Yeah, just locally. They do a lot. They're very resourceful.
I saw their water storage unit there. It was like 1 million gallons or something, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it's big.
A massive...
Yeah, that was a big project 1 year as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that this mission that they have running there is doing incredible work. It's being run on a shoestring budget.
Mm.
And I really enjoy the fact that they have a very strong and healthy balance between helping the local people,
mm-hmm.
which they do a lot of, and connecting that with gospel endeavor.
Mm.
There's a very strong connection. You know, we're all familiar with very well-meaning humanitarian efforts going on in developing countries
mm-hmm.
for either water or for housing or for food. And, you know, like I say, it's very well-meaning, and I don't want to be a critic of them because what they're doing is very good
mm-hmm.
and needful. But if you examine what they're doing and you look at their material and sort of their testimonials and their videos, the end story of usually all of that is I now have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
My quality of life has gone up,
mm-hmm.
which is again, a very good thing. But it seems like that just stops short of what people really need, because you still mm-hmm. have the problem of sin.
Sure.
But what they have going on is, yes, they are helping people with their quality, but they are always taking it to the gospel in as many different avenues as they can. And your communities where you had a problem with violence, for example, and that is the ultimate solution. And that's what we've been trying to communicate, you know, at least our audience.
Now, when you said they're in the bush and out in this remote area, where do the people come from? Is there little villages around somewhere that the people come, or are
tiny,
they
tiny little villages?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are tiny little villages, hardly called that, where people live. People live in the bush. They are in way off the beaten path. I mean, we visited a number of families, but one in particular where we were so far off the path, I didn't know if they really knew where they were going. I was starting to record myself because I didn't know this would be the last thing.
Wow.
I was like, where are we?
Yeah.
But anyway, they're so far. And then all of a sudden you see a mud hut.
Yeah. Wow.
And this family.
Somebody thought, hey, this is a nice location. No neighbors.
Well, apparently, what I'm told is just about all the land there is owned by tribes and people. And it's not as if it's completely, I mean, there are lines. I mean, I didn't
see
any.
Some sort of border.
Yeah,
yeah.
There are borders. But anyway, people are there.
Yeah.
But they're very needy, and largely they are cut off from, you know, civilization.
Mm-hmm.
They do have access now to telephones, you know, cell phones, but still that's very limited.
You know, one of the things you alluded to a few moments ago, that sometimes there's these very well-meaning projects that go on, and another pitfall there with some of them is somebody comes in and does everything for them. But I noticed with this one, a couple things seem to be different. I noticed that the people there are doing a lot of the projects themselves. In fact, I saw in one of the clips that they were committed to hiring the people from the community there as being the leaders, right? So there was like 40 staff members,
right?
And they were all Africans, right?
Right. So the mission compound itself, they it's run by 40 staff, and they're all local African people.
That had to be trained.
They had to be trained, and these are people who are very grateful for a job, very grateful for a place where they can have some security and safety. Yes, they are in the business of coming alongside and assisting the people there. They don't like to have this image of them as like a colonialism, you know, coming in, the white man, and imposing sort of our culture on them even. The only thing that we try to be an influence to them on is the gospel.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've been to one site like that, and this one was in Peru, but I just said, and somebody worded it this way, but they said they had big, hairy, audacious goals. And a lot of times you just don't get that in mission work. You know, you get somebody saying, hey, we're going to go there and kind of walk around and see if there's any opportunities. When I went there, they opened up blueprints. And like you're saying, here's a compound on 18 acres with 14 buildings or something, and 40 staff members. I mean, this is just astounding in an area like this. I saw they had clinic there, a clinic that was set up with all sorts of medications and treating the different illnesses
forth. Let me tell you about the blueprint. I mean, that's what they have going on now is today present reality. But what they intend to do, what they would love to do, their vision for the future is they want to get further and further into the bush. They want to get further and further into those people groups where they normally cannot reach. And yes, they do have a clinic. And the clinic is a fantastic mechanism where people can have some sort of a connection with them, and they can service the community that way. And it's worked beautifully up until this point. But the problem is that a lot of these people, especially the very needy ones, are so far out, they can't even make it to the clinic. So what they want to do is they want to start building clinics, smaller ones, further into the bush so that they can reach those people as well.
Outposts.
These are called outreach clinics. And the intention is not only are we going further into unreached areas, but each of those clinics will be a place, like an outpost for the gospel.
Now, of course, this is Africa. Has some Al-Qaeda and these types of influences there as well. Is there any sort of danger of that in the area that they're in, or any security type of issues?
I think Africa as a whole, generally speaking, is going to be a little bit more problematic with those sorts of things. Kenya, I think, would be generally better. It's safer. Now, as you go further east into Kenya, like as we are, but beyond us, you're going to be getting into Somalia, and that would be Muslim territory. If you go another hour and a half further east, then you would have problems. But where we were, there weren't really any problems like that.
So far out, maybe it's under the radar there.
Right.
One of the things that you said that impressed you when you went there was the singing of the children.
Right.
I want to play a clip of that, but I want you to just set the clip up for us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've been to Mexico, and I've been impressed with the people in Mexico singing. And I remember coming back home thinking, there's nobody that sings like the Mexican until I went to Africa.
Yeah.
When I went to Africa, and I stepped into their orphanage, and they were just eating lunch, The person sort of, I don't want to call him the choir director because it's not a choir, and he wasn't really directing.
Yeah.
He was just somebody who just started them off. He just got them to sing, and it was so off the charts, incredible, not only because of its beauty and the way they harmonize, naturally, but also because of the energy with which they were singing, and they were singing with so much gusto. It was starting to hurt my ears. It was so loud. I mean, it was really something to hear. And so I recorded something of that. What you're about to hear is, it's the kids singing, but keep in mind, I mean, this was not trained. This was not a singing session. This was just them getting together and singing.
They do this quite often.
They do it. They
yeah,
do it. And,
course, the
and they do it without instruments.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely a cappella, which
mm-hmm.
is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're about to hear has instruments, because we're using their singing, all of this, all the music that we have in our film that we're working on is music and singing from the people there.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've done is we've sort of strengthened it with instrumentation.
Okay.
So you will hear instrumentation.
But it wasn't there originally.
No, it wasn't there originally.
Added. Okay.
So.
All right. Well, good. Let's listen to that. And then we got to get to, I want you to tell us how the connection here is to Greenville. And you just mentioned a film. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I imagine a documentary.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that in just a second. Let's listen to the kids sing. It's thrilling.
Yeah,
you know,
and it really doesn't
it.
Do it justice, to be honest with you, because it's just so loud when
in
you're
the
there.
Room. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're there, it's just so loud.
And singing that with all their energy, with everything that's in them, wow, it's
from
fantastic.
The heart.
Yeah.
Oh, from the heart.
And people can watch a little bit of that on Sermon Audio. If you, there's actually part of a some interview with Alan Dunlop and other things that are out there on Sermon Audio, right?
SermonAudio.com/fame.
Okay. And they can watch the interview. And some of that has the kids singing in it,
right?
I think, in that one that I watched there. Now, let's talk about what's happening here in Greenville. Talk a little bit about
sure.
The documentary and what's going on.
So the first time I went there, you know, I did my best to give it some exposure, because I just wanted to do what I could within the world of Sermon Audio to give them a little bit more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And we put together a video, 5-minute thing, and we just had it out there, and we did what we could. Didn't really have a lot of traction. It's a very difficult thing to introduce a brand new mission
mm-hmm.
to people that know nothing about it. I understand that. Second time we went out there, just a few months back, I went with a videographer. And we decided, okay, maybe the way that we could do this is we can create a film slash film where, instead of just saying, okay, this is what they're related, perhaps what we need to do is we need to focus on the lives of the people there. And storytelling is a very powerful method
sure.
of communication, obviously. So what we went out, set out to do, and that's what we are setting out to do right now, we are working, and we hope to have it finished within the next week or so.
Mm.
But it's coming along. And what we're trying to do is adequately communicate the lives of these people. They have some incredible stories. One in particular is an orphan girl. Her name is Milka. She's sort of on the front of our promotional stuff.
Mm.
And she has had a tragic past where... I don't want to give all away, but she tells it herself. Her mother was brutally murdered mm. by her father.
Mm.
And the way he did it was just, you know, very sad. And all the kids were there, and she was there. She remembers. She was 6 at the time.
Mm,
she's 12 today. But she's one of the children that was rescued by this mission organization. And she tells her story. So we have her telling her story. But the big picture story is that at the end of the film, she comes around and she tells another story, which is her testimony, because she actually was recently baptized.
Praise
and she
Lord.
Came to the Lord through FAME, and she goes on camera to say that today she's actually praying for her father, that he will
wow.
be saved as well.
Praise the Lord.
So there's this a wonderful circle that's completed in the ministry of FAME, and she personifies exactly what this is all about.
Mm.
Yes, they're rescuing children in need of rescuing, but they're doing so much more.
So here in Greenville, there's going to be a showing of that film. Is that what the poster
Right. is? So the good folks at Bob Jones University, they have graciously allowed us to use Stratton Hall, which is a 500-600 seat auditorium to show the film there. This will be December 9. It's a Friday night at 8 o'clock p.m. We've tried to make it at a time when people can come. I would just encourage people to come.
Now, what can our listening audience do? You know, obviously they can attend this event. You have more of these posters available?
I do.
Can we get some that we put here at the studio?
Absolutely.
So people listening to the broadcast, if they want to come in and pick up a poster to put up, they're really beautifully done. And if you want to get a poster, we'll put those here. Just come to the front desk and you can come in and just say, you know, you heard the interview on Knowing the Truth, and you would love to have some of the posters advertising for the showing of the documentary. The documentary is God First is the name of the showing, right? Now, there's a Swahili name for that, and I'm going to let you say it so that I don't mutilate it.
Right. The actual title of the documentary we have is Mungu Kwanza, : God First. Mungu Kwanza is Swahili for God First.
Okay.
And that's sort of their motto.
Okay.
That's their motto. It's written on their watchtower. Everything that they do there is God First. And I just thought it was a good fitting title for this.
Right. Now, do the kids, like in that documentary, does she speak Swahili or does
she
speak English?
She speaks a much more local dialect called Kamba.
Okay.
So it's not Swahili. But she can speak Swahili as well, but that's not her first. She speaks like three languages.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And most of the people there, are they speaking Swahili or some dialect?
Kamba or Swahili. They all sort of know Swahili, but their first language would be the local dialect.
Okay. I speak Kamba myself, a combination of northern dialect and southern dialect. And I just mix that all with a little Spanglish thrown in there, too. So I just mix it all together. Now to throw a little Swahili in there, this is going to be perfect. So. Stephen, thanks so much for the work that you do there at Sermon Audio. I want to make sure that the people know what they can do. They can come here and get the posters for it. They can attend the event. Best place to point them then is to on
SermonAudio.com/ FAME Film.
Okay.
FAME Film is the page that talks about the film in particular.
Okay.
And the showing of it. It'll give you all the details there, .com/ FAME Film.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's a big auditorium. We need that place filled.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't encourage the parents to bring their children. I can't encourage them enough because the founder will be there of the mission.
Alan Dunlop.
He's going to be flying into Greenville just for this.
Wow.
And it would encourage him greatly. He's an older man now. He's actually not on the field anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it would encourage him greatly to see people there.
Mm-hmm.
They have no presence in the United States, and so this would be a really good first attempt for them to get a foothold here.
Great. Maybe when he's here in town, we might be able to get him to come over to the studio here for a little bit and talk a little bit more about what he's doing there. He seemed like a man from just a few short clips that I saw who had the unique gifts to know how to do things hands-on, as well as the spiritual element of things as well.
That's
and
right.
That oftentimes is a unique gift, you know, to be able to do both of those two things. And that seemed what just a few clips I saw him seemed like he was that type of person. So this is coming up on Friday, December 9th at 8 o'clock, Stratton Hall. Again, Stephen, give us the website location there where people can go to find out more.
SermonAudio.com/ FAME Film, FAMEFILM.
Well, again, thank you so much, Stephen, for the work that you do there at Sermon Audio. It's just a wonderful resource, been a great blessing to so many people, certainly for myself and the folks there at Mountain Ridge Bible Fellowship, and all the listeners that get to listen to the audio files and so forth on a regular basis. Go out there and check that website out so you can get involved in this. And if you're in the upstate of South Carolina, come on by to see the film. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.